Jeff sitting in for the Breakfast Club this morning. My pleasure to welcome back school board superintendent from Iberia Parish, Carrie Laviolette. Good morning, ma'am.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. I'm really happy that we could work out a time that works for both of us, and I'm very happy to be here this morning.
It's been a few months, but we appreciate working this all out. And tell us again, you know, it's been an amazing year for schools, and so many people have had to pivot in some form or fashion, but I think schools probably had to do so more than anybody else.
Yes, we were not without our challenges, and then as I don't know, luck would have it or whatever, even with the pandemic this year, you know, we had some incredible storms. And then who would think that we would even have an ice storm here in Iberia Parish, Louisiana? So we definitely had our challenges. We started the year with a focus on safety and security. We had the uncertainty of the pandemic, so we had to make sure that all of our mitigation measures were in place. But Iberia Parish is blessed to have the teachers and the administrators that we have because we welcomed our students back in September. And if you look across the country, there are still some districts across the United States that still have not welcomed their students back to class.
It's almost astounding when you do hear a story about a community that's still pondering opening up classrooms because we seem to have tackled it a little bit better down here.
You know, it's not without its problems, and we had to, there was a few times when we had to close a classroom here, a classroom there, even half of a school or even a whole school temporarily. But we did that. We did the contact tracing, and we brought kids back because we know, Jeff, that they'd learn best when they're face-to-face with their teachers.
No doubt. And as a student, I can remember just a little more accountability if I had to face that teacher face-to-face and answer.
I think so. And they miss out on, we know now that students benefit quite a bit from collaborating with their neighbors and their classmates about questions and to think deeply about topics. So all those things, if they're on full virtual, even though they're getting the gist of the lesson, they're missing out some important parts of learning.
No doubt. School board met last night. Want to go through some of the highlights of that meeting and certainly anything else you want to address, but give us some of the highlights from last night.
Okay, yes. A very interesting announcement last night. New Iberia Senior High was without one assistant principal, and we introduced Mr. Carl Alberton to the group to be the new assistant principal at NISH. And his interesting story is that he's from the land of kangaroos. You know where that might be, right? Australia. He came to Louisiana as a tennis player at UL. And then he, when he graduated, he started working at Generette High and loved Iberia Parish. So we are so blessed to have Carl Alberton with us at New Iberia Senior High. And, of course, he has that little Australian accent. So we welcomed him and introduced him to the school board last night. I usually always announce the news about the sales tax report, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely. I've been... during my other show, during Tesh Matters, talked to guys like Mike Tarantino. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, it's amazing how the pandemic kind of had one positive side is that it had people shopping at home.
That is exactly what we've witnessed. We were fearful that we would have seen double-digit declines in the sales tax. And quite surprisingly, we never did see that. We had some slight declines like last month, 0.76%, which is pretty much a wash. Mm-hmm. It's even. And for the year, we're about at 0.02%. So that's pretty much even. But I have to tell you, I'm a little envious, though, when I hear places like Youngsville having 18% increase. So, you know, but we're still blessed to have what we have, and we did not see the double-digit declines that we were suspecting and frightful of. So that's very good news. Another thing that I want to say, in spite of all those challenges, like we just discussed, teachers, administrators, everybody came back to work, and they came back face-to-face. But when they did come back, they were taxed to have to do all those mitigation measures. So almost not almost, every employee in the school system had to step up and take on some additional tasks. I'll just give you a teacher example. We increased the school day by 20 minutes. They had to get there early to take temperatures of visitors, students, teachers. They had to eat lunch with their students because in the lunchroom we couldn't have them eat in the cafeteria because they had to have 6 feet distancing. So they had to eat in the classrooms in their little static groups. They had to go out for recess and PE with their students. And they had to disinfect all the classrooms. Every time one group came in and another group, they had to disinfect the whole classroom. So just teachers. And then the most important thing about teachers is that starting last summer, we had to retool them on how to teach. Because even in the classroom, we had the static groups. We still had the one-to-one technology with Chromebooks. So teachers had to retool themselves on all kinds of software that came with using that technology in the classroom. So they had to start doing that over the summer, and they had to keep learning all during the year. We had to be prepared at a moment's notice just in case we had to go fully virtual.
Gotcha there.
So that was, you know, that was quite something. But how about
transportation issues?
Transportation, at the beginning, we had to abide by only 50% occupancy on a bus. We even made an appeal to the parents. If at all possible, can you bring your kids to school? Because we were afraid that we would have to run two routes for every route. But parents, again, stepped up to the challenge themselves. They brought their kids, but then you know what that created, right? Long lines of on the roads and causing traffic jams. But parents did step up to the challenge. They brought their kids to school. And at every time the bus drops off a load, the bus driver has to disinfect the bus.
Yeah.
So if you take any employee in the school system, you will see all the additional duties that they had to do to be able to reopen schools and then keep the schools open. So last night, with the federal funds that we're going to get, the school board voted to give a one-time stipend to the employees in Iberia Parish for all the extra work and time that they had to put in to be able to reopen schools. And I keep saying to keep them open.
Yeah.
Because we're still open. So they voted for that. I think the employees will have a very nice feeling about that because they have worked very, very hard to bring our kids back and keep them in school. So I think they're going to appreciate that. And the school board voted unanimously for that last night.
Very good, very good.
Another thing that comes up about this time are the millage rates. So the millage rates, the ad valorem rates, are, you know, we have the constitutional rate that's set, that's 4.40 mils. Then the Iberia Parish School Board has a maintenance and operations ad valorem that pays for our HVAC, for our electric bills, utilities. I say it pays for it. In the past few years, it has not paid the full cost for that. But that's renewed every 10 years, and that's set for the duration of the millage. But what they did also do in the bond retirement, you know, the new schools that we've built, that's a bond. So they kept that at 25 mils. So everything will stay as it is. No increase in the millage for the ad valorem tax. I think the citizens will be happy to hear that as well. That was also unanimously voted on last night. I also want to say that today, well, this week actually, is a big week in the school system because high school students started taking the LEAP test.
There you go. We missed that last year.
Last year.
I don't know if they missed it.
Well, they probably didn't miss it, and they probably weren't crying over it.
Yeah.
I have to tell you that. Yeah. But this year, the high school students started taking the LEAP test, which some of the courses are required to graduate from high school. So it's a very important test. And next week, the lower grades will start taking it from third through eighth grade. We'll start taking that test. Some of them take it pencil and paper, and others start taking it on the computer. But I know people are probably saying, well, with all the stuff that we had, why are we taking that test? Well, the test is an important test for the people in the school system because it gives us a pulse of what each individual has learned this year. And if we're going to help them and provide some intervention, then it's important that we get this information to use the best resources and provide the adequate amount of time to do the intervention to catch them up on what they missed. Because, you know, it's predicted that students have had quite a bit of learning loss from the shutdown since March of last year.
Yeah.
That created quite a bit of learning loss. But kids are resilient, I think. And I sent a message out to the teachers yesterday, and I said, you know, I said, we did the best we could. Our students have been with us, and I think they're going to surprise us with their resilience on the test. But, you know, we'll get those results sometime during the summer, and we'll wait and see. But I want to tell parents who may be hesitant and say, well, what about the safety measures for testing? If your child has been on virtual learning and they're going to be coming in for the test, we are going to continue our same exact COVID-19 protocols that we've doing, like I described earlier, the disinfecting, the sanitizing, the mask wearing. All of those things will be done when the children are taking their test. So we're not going to be laxed on that while they take the test. I just want to assure everybody about that.
Very good.
And the last thing, you know, the test is a normal day. We would like parents to treat it as a normal day. I know that some say, well, I need to give them a good breakfast. Well, yes, you do, but you don't want to give them a breakfast they're not accustomed to. So if they're used to eating cereal and milk, for example, you don't want to have them eat grits, bacon, eggs, biscuits, etc., because then that's not what they're accustomed to. So we'd like them to just give them the kind of breakfast that they're used to. Of course, a good night's rest. And last but not least, we want them to encourage their children, but not to make them feel overly stressed about it, because they will do the best they can. We've seen it time and time again. They want to do their best, and they will, and we're confident that they will do that.
Yeah, again, normalcy and not being in a stressful situation makes them more relaxed and probably bring the best out of them.
Exactly. And we've taught them, they've learned their skills, and they're ready. So all we want them to do is come and have an open mind and do the best they can. And that was pretty much it at the meeting. So that concluded the meeting, and it was a very good meeting.
Yeah, this time of year, we kind of are in the final stretch of the school year. How has the school year been impacted by the weather situation? A few extra days this year, or what's going on there?
Well, we were fortunate when we had the weather days that we had added 20 additional minutes to the school year. So the schools are bound by a certain number of required instructional minutes. So we actually had at all schools except for Coteau Elementary School, because Coteau Elementary School had a tree that fell on it in one of the storms. So it took them a little bit longer to come back than the others. So they had to add some additional minutes to their school day. But because we had the 20 extra minutes, and then we cut a few holidays out, and school will not end until June 4th this year, which we had been ending about the middle, like the second to last week of May in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So we've extended the school year, added holidays, added minutes. So we were fortunate when we had to close school for the storms that we had enough instructional minutes.
Graduation dates?
Graduation dates, that's coming up quickly. We're at the week of, can you look at May for me so I can?
I can see a little of May. May 1st is Saturday, a week from Saturday.
May 15th, is it? Is that the Monday? May 15th?
17th is a
17th.
Monday.
17th. Okay, May 17th, we start out with Generette High, and Generette High will have their graduation at the stadium, and then followed by Lauraville High School on Tuesday, and then Wednesday was supposed to be Westgate, but I'll tell you about Westgate. So Wednesday is not Westgate, Thursday none, and then Friday will be Delcom High, and then Saturday because of the protocols. And it's interesting to tell you that the protocols came to us by way of the fire marshal.
Mm-hmm.
So we are bound by the fire marshal regulations right now for graduation, which will enable us to do a little more for graduations than we did last year, but we still have to follow some protocols. So Westgate and Nish will actually have both of will both have their graduations on Saturday so that they can have three different ceremonies. We have to divide the students in three, and that will be on Saturday. So they have three times for Westgate, three times for Nish on Saturday, the 22nd of May.
Interesting. And will that be outside?
No. Nish and Westgate will have theirs indoors because, believe it or not, with the two sides of a inside the gym, they can actually hold more people than what we're obligated to do in the stadium because we have to provide 6 feet distancing. So they actually went out with the tape measure, the principals, and measured exactly how many people they could have in their bleachers or their stadium outside, and inside still gave them more space to have it. So they'll have three ceremonies indoors having 6 feet distancing.
How will they decide to separate, by alphabetical order?
I think they're going to have, all of them are going to have probably one ceremony, it looks like, with the honor graduates. And then the rest they're going to probably do alphabetically.
Gotcha.
And they're trying to give them as many guests as possible. But like I said, the fire marshal has given us our marching orders, and they're following the 6 feet distancing requirement. So the guest tickets were assigned according to that.
Yeah, and it's not unusual to limit those in years past, not pandemic related, to sit there
Correct.
And say you can only have two, or whatever the case may
but,
be. So
you know, modern technology is a blessing most of the time. I'll say,
be able to stream
live
these.
Stream.
Yeah.
Yep. They will all be live streamed. All
Excellent.
Of the graduations will be live streamed. They started that last year. You know, there are some silver linings to the pandemic. Look, all the things we did. We weren't doing live stream of graduations before. Now we are. So lots of things
no doubt.
Came out of the pandemic.
Learning to pivot.
Yeah, we sure have.
Anything else you want to add before we let you go?
No, I just really appreciate the fact that we were able to work this out. And we have a meeting scheduled on the 19th of May. If it's scheduled, I'll be here the next day.
Very good. We'll look forward to it. Carrie
okay.
Laviolette.